for me, I've been knocked down so many times, but I feel like we need to fight and make our own destiny. What we can control, we make the most out of it. We need to be on our toes all the time, ready to pivot, ready to act fast. And we just need to look ahead and just vision a good day, brighter day, and have a positive attitude even though you're down.
When I think about all the things I'm missing about restaurants, one of the main ones is eating things that I just would never cook at home for myself. One of those things is big, juicy, messy mud crab. And somewhere that I have really loved going for that is Thai Tide in the city. When I think about the city of Melbourne, I think about quiet streets, struggling restaurants, no office workers, just a real roller coaster of a pandemic. So I thought it was a really good chance to check in with a city restaurateur, someone that specializes in beautiful crabs and other seafood. And that person is Marika Charungvat from Thai Tide. Hi, Marika. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I am good. Now, I have to say that I have eaten your takeaway at home recently, and it was so delicious. It was a really, really great experience. Not quite as fun to get messy at home as in a restaurant, but it was super, super yummy all the same. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And our team would be so happy and so happy to hear all of that comment. Thank you so much.
Well, I think, you know, part of what I enjoyed about it was the great flavors, just like really fresh, really spicy, you know, all the sauces, you know, beautifully presented. Like, it was great. But it also reminded me of when I was at your restaurant. I was there for my husband's birthday with the whole family. And I tell you, it's pretty hard to get the teenagers to sit down with us for very long these days. So, you know, we have to lure them with excellent food. So I guess I had this dual pleasure, not only of enjoying dinner that night, but also I guess it taking me back to that restaurant experience.
Oh, I remember you came just before the last lockdown, and we have served you traditional Thai food in our restaurant. However, with Talay, which is our spin-off brand, it's actually we specialize in Thai seafood, and that is actually as a result of the pandemic. So Talay specialize in Thai seafood because my husband actually come from Phuket. That's where it started. And Talay is born in the second lockdown, and now we're on the sixth. So here we are.
Yep, now we're on the sixth. So Marika, take us back a little bit. Tell us about the various incarnations of your businesses, what's brought you up to launching Talay.
We have been in the restaurant business, especially in Melbourne CBD, for maybe 14 years now. We started off inside Target Centre, just a humble food court, serving Thai street food. And we expanded into a standalone two-story, 100 seats, serving a more traditional, authentic family feast, sharing meal. And we have just completed renovation for that, for our standalone business. And a few weeks after the first lockdown hit, we find ourselves 250,000 in debt. We have had 90% reduction in our sales. Our staff I think the first lockdown, our staff struggled so much because they were on student visa and on temporary visa. They could not get or qualify for job seeker or any government grant. So we had to stay open just to ensure that they are supported. Although our sale has reduced by 90%, Uber has taken a lot out of us. We thought, this could not be it. And we will not survive if this is our business model, having to serve traditional Thai food that everyone serves on online platform. And we thought we need to be more specialized. And we acted very fast, and the second lockdown came, and the news was on that the lobsters, Australian lobsters, were not able to be exported in China. The domestic market has an abundant of lobsters. So we thought, we could utilize cheaper lobsters available within Australia and serve directly to people's home, and mud crabs as well. So that's where we started seafood. Also, as I mentioned, my husband is from Phuket. So he was the first one to lose the job because he's in aviation. So he came back before, he came back to Australia before the border closure, and gave us an idea that we could do something fresh, something seafood, something home, something that although people don't get to travel, they could still have good food delivered to their home. And we got lucky that publications supported us because we didn't have shop front, and that they are our shop front, having be our voice, advertising, and letting people know that we are here, and we give thanks. And that's where we are today. And I'm very thankful for that.
Wow. And so were you producing the seafood takeaway from the restaurant in the center of the city?
Yes, correct. We use the center of the city kitchen. Our staff is still the same team. To be honest, full credit to our head chef. She's been with us 7 years and stick with us during hard times and until now. And she's very talented and able to, we are able to achieve this far because of her her help and effort.
What's her name? We should give her a shout out.
Yeah, her name is Natchanan. We had to change our menu so tremendously and change almost weekly. And she is able to enable that to happen. And that's one of the reasons that we are able to be successful is our team behind this brand.
Well, it's incredible. And I mean, it really sounds, well, I mean, as you've said, you know, your motivation for pivoting so quickly was your team and looking after those people who weren't eligible for government support here. And we all know that, you know, internationals are the absolute lifeblood of the hospitality industry in Australia. And yeah, businesses such as yours went to extraordinary lengths to look after those people who were not looked after by the government. I'm really quite shocked to hear, Marika, that your husband lost his job in aviation. Was he working overseas? Like, was he actually working in Thailand, or what, you know, what was his role?
He's a pilot in A380 plane, and that plane is the first to be grounded and probably will be the last one to take off in a few years time.
Wow.
So yeah,
that's really full on, because I mean, as you're describing it, not only was your business decimated, it's like there wasn't, you know, another possible source of stability for the family was also pulled out from under you.
Yes, that's correct. And I think what got us through is our survival and our attitude, our mindset that we need to survive and we have to survive, and our fighting spirit. However, I must say that we are becoming exhausted and drained. We hope that it's going to look up from here onwards when we reach 80% vaccination, and we'll have more, the border will be open, we'll all get to see our families and travel, and that's what we're looking forward to. That's what gets us going right now.
Yeah, definitely. We're all looking forward to just life restarting, that's for sure. So I know that, you know, you say you're exhausted and you're drained, but you're still planning new things. Tell us about some of the new roads for Thalay Thai Tide.
Sure. We being in the city is the hardest hit, and we can be sure that it will take years to recover, even though the border opens, even though we're able travel to work again, I think we need to recognize the change in people's behavior that they may be working from home still, and they may not come to the city. Online is still a big part of the way people purchase things food-wise, retail-wise. And also, we need to change quickly. And I think these are the points that we learn from lockdown. And moving forward, we have set a direction for the business, whether it be we can trade or not have shopfront again, we should be able to versatile enough and diversify ourselves in order to survive. So we think that we will move towards more virtual business model, have a cloud kitchen or smaller kitchen, dark kitchen that has no shop front. We still try to strike balance between conserving hospitality value and doing new way of doing business. So what we're trying to do is we will be delivering more to people's home, even though lockdown lifts. We will have more online ordering. We will serve people meal kits they can finish off at home. We are doing more subscription based, so we deliver weekly to people's home and rely less on Uber. So this is where we are heading, relying less on our city shopfront, people walking through to dine in, and move towards delivering to people's home.
That's really interesting. I mean, are you excited about that innovation? Do you find satisfaction in it? Is there creativity in it? Or is the restaurant experience what you would really most love to do if you thought it could be viable?
Of course, we would love to have the same brick and mortar restaurant, because we love having customer come through the door, seeing their faces, enjoying our food. However, the way we do things change, and we must accept that. So the challenge is to try to strike a balance. What we offer to people's home, we can try to still inject the quality of restaurant, our personal touches, the trick and tips of how they cook at home, our knowledge of cooking Thai food. For instance, we are hoping to offer a noodle box, Chiang Mai noodle box, where people can have a taste of Chiang Mai at home, whether it be Thai northern sausage we made from scratch, whether it be a yellow curry noodle that we cooked from scratch, from the paste we pounded from our pestles and pestles, and we will give them an instruction and recommendation on how they could heat and eat as close as they dine in the restaurant. And that's, I think, delivering restaurant experience to people's home is one of the way to bring hospitality into people's home.
Yeah, look, I mean, that all sounds great, and it sounds like you've got so many ideas, which is really exciting. What about the front of house staff? Are they able to be repurposed in some of these projects?
Actually, our kitchen is flat out, so they come in and they help the logistic of it, the processing the orders. Sometimes they help in the kitchen. We are utilizing our staff to the max, and I think they enjoy the new challenge of do new ways of doing things, I suppose.
And just in terms, like, it sounds like you're thinking about doing these as sort of different brands. Can you talk to me a bit about the marketing and the branding, like why you're using different names for the different streams of your businesses?
Sure. It comes from our city restaurant, Thai Tide, having variety of food. We serve an array of dishes, and our menu is huge. And that, I think, is a traditional way of doing business. However, moving forward, we feel like people will be remembered. We need to be top of mind for people if they want certain food. For instance, if they want seafood, they need to think of Tele. If they want noodle kit, they need to think of our new brand. We need to make clear to our customers what we are good at, and to cloud them in one brand, I think it's not really the trend moving forward. It's more specialization, and people need to know what we are good at to be able to help them purchase better. That's where we are heading, specialization in brands and brands creation.
Mm. I think that's so true. When I think about the kinds of businesses that have really stood out and created excitement through the various lockdowns, it often is people that are just doing one thing, and it becomes this sort of cult product. It's so interesting that you want to create these go-to products, but they're all you. I think that's so clever.
Yeah, we are launching two virtual brands very soon. One is a Thai vegan brand delivered to your home weekly, and that is also our restaurant restaurant-driven product, but delivered to your home. And we are doing a noodle kit brand specializing in all kinds of Thai noodles. And that also delivers to people's home in our cloud kitchen. And we hope to continue to add more brands because we feel like I'm a very passionate Thai food lover. I think Thai food has so many categories. For instance, Northern Thai salad and grill, Southern Thai strong flavor, chilies, seafood. There's also Thai street food, Thai noodles. There are varieties of Thai food that Melbournean hasn't had a chance to experience. And I think that's what I would like to bring to Melbourne.
If there was one dish that you think I should learn about next, or that you could create a brand around and I could buy from you next, what would it be?
It's definitely Thai vegan and vegetarian food. It's super exciting that you can have non-meat, tasty, healthy, good for the planet meal, and it's gonna be it's all herbs and spice and all the delicate touches. And I'm very excited about our vegan and vegetarian, because when people think of vegetarian food, they think it might not be as tasty and they couldn't get as much texture in the vegetarian food. But I think that's what we're trying to come in and solve. Vegetarian and vegan food is exciting, and that's where we come in.
I mean, I'm so excited about that. Is vegan food a trend in Thailand as well?
Actually, healthy food overall, people want to live better. They want to eat better. I think that's the trend. And to provide them with alternatives, it's exciting. And I believe that's the future, actually.
That's so exciting. I mean, it's so different from delivering somebody a big crab to get stuck into, or one of those glorious lobsters that you've been able to get your hands on. It's it's really different. And totally, it's like if someone wants Thai vegan food, they probably don't want to see a crab on the menu right next to it. So it totally makes sense. Yeah.
And yesterday we just did an R&D of 12 of our menus, and it includes jackfruit, it includes basil, it includes winter melon, it includes all of the Asian vegetables that In Australia, it's actually widely available in the market, but it's not being utilized or introduced. They all have health benefits that we will lay out. And we are super excited to be able to provide that knowledge of what these vegetables gives you, what's health benefit associated with it. And I think that's very exciting to me.
Oh, yeah, it's so exciting. So this might be like asking you to look too far into the crystal ball, Marika, but could you imagine that this vegan brand could expand into a bricks and mortar restaurant down the track?
Actually, we are already thinking about that. We actually vision where we want to be in Melbourne. However, we just take a baby step at the time. Right now, I think in this pandemic world, nothing is certain. So we take baby steps at a time and ensure that we put a small investment first. If it's viable, we gradually increase to ensure our business survival. And definitely, we would love to have a shop front where we welcome vegan, vegetarian, health food customers into our store.
I think that would go off. I'd love to hear from you what you've heard from Thailand recently. I've heard that things are really, really difficult there with COVID at the moment. It's really hard to get vaccinated. What are family and friends telling you?
All my families are very fortunate that they are one of the few ones to get vaccinated fully. However, that's not the case for everyone else. There's one person I supported monthly financially to help him get through, and he told me that he queued for 5 hours in the line to get vaccinated. And it's not even possible. Most people are unfortunate to receive any doses, and that's where it's difficult now because the country relies so much on tourism, opening up countries, and Phuket especially, the island relies on tourism, and at the moment people do not receive funding from the government to help them through, like the way we do here in Australia, which I truly appreciate. And actually it's a struggle mentally and physically. It's a struggle for everyone. It's been dragged on for many months now, and there's no end in sight, and that's the problem. It's not looking good.
Yeah, it's really distressing to think about it. I've also heard, you know, there's some people, it's like there's food shortages in some parts of the country, like things, the sort of fabric of society is really unraveling to some degree.
And there are a lot of people donating. And for people to donate, it means the government are not doing enough to support especially the unfortunate ones. And I think what we can do to give, we try like donations, but I don't know how long, like I have supported this person for almost a year now financially, and I don't know how long I can keep supporting if the government doesn't kick in. I just hope it gets better soon, and I really don't know where. It doesn't look good at the moment.
Yeah, it's really tough. What's your experience with vaccinations here, Marika? Have you found that an easy conversation to have with your staff, you know, or is it something that people are still really needing to think hard about, or does it just seem everyone's pretty happy to go off and get vaccinated as soon as they can?
I think the government mixed messages earlier didn't help, but I think people now are starting to understand and realize. And although I respect people's choices, I think we will hit the target pretty soon. And I'm looking forward to it. Everyone's doing their part as much as they can, which is really good. And I just hope that we get to the threshold soon, so that small businesses are being are able to operate.
Yeah, so do I. I mean, it seems very clear now that vaccination targets are very tightly tied to businesses reopening and also businesses operating. Well, I think it's, you know, the government at state and federal level is making it pretty clear that it's going to be, there are going to be privileges for the vaccinated. So you'll probably, when you do reopen your restaurant and open many more restaurants, I hope, you'll have to have some sort of vaccination certificate to be allowed to dine inside. What do you think about that?
To be honest, I haven't really thought about that far, but I think whatever society accepts, we understand, and we will try to do our best as part of the community to make sure that everyone is safe and everyone is able to live normal life, whatever it takes. As part of the community, we'll do whatever to ensure the safety of the people.
Yeah, beautiful. So, Marika, it's a bit of a cold and rainy afternoon as we are speaking, and I would love to just warm up with some beautiful Thai food, whether it's from Phuket or from elsewhere in Thailand. Can you just talk me through something really bright and spicy that's going to bring a bit of sunshine into my day?
Oh, okay, I can do that. One of our best sellers for our Thale brand, obviously, is the mud crab. To be honest, our seasoning is only as good as the produce. Australian seafood is amazing. We've got live Darwin Grade A mud crab delivered. I go to the market daily to pick the strongest crab, the largest, as large as possible. Yeah, usually they're under 1 kilo. Although we advertise 900 grams, we tend to ensure that we surprise our customers and choose the biggest crabs possible. We cook in this peppery sauce, sweet and salty balance at the same time, but the meat itself, the crab meat itself, I think is the star, as well as the lobster from South Australia. Just this morning I went to Springvale Market and I picked the strongest lobsters, 1 kilo, and it's just amazing the abundant types of seafood Australia has. We would love to create new menus to include more like oysters, more like scampi, more like spanner crabs, because they are in season at the moment in the market. We'll keep introducing new menu.
Wonderful. You've definitely warmed me up. Only problem is now I'm hungry as well. Marika, thank you so much for talking to me today on Dirty Linen. Is there anything else that you'd like to say, perhaps to restaurants who are struggling a bit with motivation or not knowing what to do next? What words of advice or comfort could you give people?
To be honest, for me, I've been knocked down so many times, but I feel like we need to fight and make our own destiny. What we can control, we make the most out of it. We need to be on our toes all the time, ready to pivot, ready to act fast. And we just need to look ahead and just vision a good day, brighter day, and have a positive attitude. Even though you're down, you can still get up if you have the positive attitude and the right mindset. And I know it's difficult. I know it's very, very difficult, but I think focus and the right mindset, attitude, is the key to get through this.
Well, you're certainly demonstrating that. Marika, thank you so much for talking us through everything that you're doing at Thale and Thai Tide and all the other brands to come. It's really exciting. I'm really excited for the future of Melbourne dining when there's people like you in it. Thanks so much for sharing your story today.
Thank you for having me. And I think you're doing a tremendous job helping hospitality industry and being the voice for our small businesses. And we appreciate much for your work. And thank you for that.
Thank you. Thanks for your kind words. All right. Talk to you soon. Bye, Marika.
Thank you.
This is Dirty Linen and I'm Danny Vallant. We air the issues that the hospitality industry finds hard to talk about, hearing from different people with unique perspectives. We want to hear from you as well. If you have something that needs to be said about a topic, get in touch so we can include your perspective. Contact us at dirtylinen@deepintheweeds.com.au or hit us up on Insta at Dirty Linen Podcast. We can't wait to hear from you.